Welcome everybody. In this video, we are looking at early dynastic Egypt, the period of ancient Egyptian history that would really lay the foundations for what we think of as ancient Egypt today. The early dynastic period would start with early agricultural farmers beginning to domesticate plant and animal species, leading to the foundations of major cities and major regions of Egypt, finally culminating with the unification of the two main regions of ancient Egypt and laying the foundations for art and architecture that we associate with ancient Egyptians. Let's get started. The archaic or early dynastic period of ancient Egypt begins in 3150 BCE, immediately following the first unification of Upper and Lower Egypt. Now, there's a lot of confusion about Upper and Lower Egypt and whether one is in the north or the south, or the other is in the north or the south. So let's take a closer look at the geography of ancient Egypt and learn more about the different two regions of that period in Egypt's history.
The early dynastic period began with the first pharaoh of the first dynasty of Egypt, and that was Narmer. Narmer was a bit of a mythological figure who unified the two regions of Egypt to create the first unified Egyptian kingdom. Narmer's successors would be Hor-Aha, followed by Djer, Djet, Merneith, Dan, Anadib, Semerket, Ka'a, Sneferka, and Horusberg, who ruled a very short reign, and his correct chronological position is not exactly known. What we do know, though, is during the first dynasty, there was a practice of human sacrifice in relation to funeral rites. Certain retainers of the pharaoh would be killed, and most historians believe this was associated with their role to the pharaoh in the afterlife. But there were also animals sacrificed as well, for example, donkeys. Other information about this dynasty comes in the form of unique artwork. There's some really cool palettes. One, particularly the Narmer palette, tells us some information about the first pharaoh. We also have really cool necklaces made from cornelian, coral, and garnet, and some really neat pottery as well, with some really cool artwork on that too. We don't know the total number of rulers of the second dynasty, but we do know they did include Hotep Sekhemwy, Debra, Nanetir, and Sened. And there's no way I pronounced any of those correctly. But there's actually not a lot of information we know about the second dynasty, except what we can extrapolate by comparing and contrasting with the first and third dynasties. Based on that model, we can learn that there was institutional and economic developments that were hugely important to early dynastic Egypt during the second dynasty. Apart from that, though, there's just not a lot of information, unfortunately. But like I said, we do have the names of a handful of rulers, and we have information that there was clear, important institutional and economic development.
Also during this period, we would see the beginnings and early development of a lot of the forms of arts, architecture, religion, and writing styles that would come to dominate the way we think about ancient Egypt today. Things like columns and arched entranceways, certain styles of hieroglyphic writing, and a lot of the deities that would come to become major gods of the ancient Egyptian pantheon began to receive some of their earliest honors through the buildings of temples and shrines, and the patronage of entire cities, all during the early dynastic period. By 3600 BCE, Egyptian domestication of several different plant and animal species would lead to the development of cities along the Nile. And these cities would utilize building techniques from their neighboring Mesopotamians, predominantly in sun-dried bricks. These brick-built cities would eventually develop into whole regions as settlements and villages would align together to form alliances and essentially nation identities. By the time all of these began to settle, we would see the development of northern or upper and southern or lower Egypt. But let's take a closer look at some of the early rivalries between Lower and Upper Egypt and how it would come to eventually shape the early dynastic period.
In prehistoric Egypt, the Nile settlements were typically very small villages. But as climate change from the end of the Ice Age would affect northern Africa, those cities would not only grow by just population expansion through reproduction, but also through climate change refugees, members of what was once the Sahara grasslands were drying up, and a lot of those people migrated to the Nile rivers. So what would begin to develop would be villages growing into towns, growing into cities, and then those cities would align themselves with nearby cities as a means of protecting themselves against common enemies. Well, this would evolve over centuries to develop a unique identity in northern and southern Egypt, respectively. And for a long period, northern and southern Egypt were often referred to, even in their time, as the two Egypts or the two lands. And it wouldn't be until the work of Narmer, sometimes referred to as Menes, who would finally unite the two regions by a combination of both politics and war to establish the first dynasty and the early dynastic period of Egypt. Now, speaking of Narmer, because we can't get through this video on early dynastic Egypt without talking about this guy in full detail. There's a lot of information and mythology about this guy. For one, we don't even really know what his real name was. Narmer's identity is a subject of ongoing debates. Many people, historians, Egyptologists, anthropologists, etc., associate him with the pharaoh Menes. And the hieroglyphics on his name are not always uniform either. In some cases, his name is represented with the symbol of a catfish. So who knows? Maybe Narmer is the original catfish, and he's been catfishing us all this whole time. What we do know is if we do associate him with Nemes, then he was very clearly the figure who would have united the two Egypts, upper and lower, or southern and northern, respectively, and lay the foundations for the entire next two generations or dynasties of Egypt. We also know that there is some archaeological evidence, again, whether it was Narmer or Menes or simultaneously both, that his tomb dates back to more than 5,000 years ago and has pretty thoroughly been pillaged pretty frequently throughout those 5,000 years. We do have some scattered artifacts from his life, including the Narmer Serek, a piece of pottery shard from Nahal Tila in Canaan. showing us that catfish image. So once again, one of the last things, and perhaps the only thing we will ever know about this guy, is that he was the ultimate catfish. So next time you're watching the TV show and you see that cringeworthy video of that guy claiming to be the king of the catfish, sorry, buddy. I think Narmer's got you beat.
Early symbols of a unified Upper-Lower Egypt would include the combination of the lotus, which represented southern Egypt, and the palm, which represented northern Egypt. We would also see the combination of Horus, who represented the north, and Set, who represented the south. And if you guys want to learn more about the metaphors of the combination of different symbols, especially the metaphors of the combination of Horus and Set, you can check out our History of Human Sexuality podcast, which delves deeply into ancient Egyptian sex practices, along with the metaphors of Horus and Set in homosexual couples during this and future period of ancient Egyptian history. During this period, we would also see the development of early mausoleums. While peasants usually received the same sorts of funeral rites they had since the Stone Age, during the early dynastic period, we would see royal dead receive what was known as mastabas, which were an early type of mausoleum. And the mastaba would be the early ancestor of what would eventually be the step pyramid, which was itself an early ancestor of what we think of as Egyptian pyramids today. So the idea of pyramids themselves even really got their start during the early dynastic period with those mastabas.
Throughout ancient Egyptian history, agricultural history would play a major aspect of Egyptian culture. During the early dynastic period, there was already irrigation canals built before the unification period under Narmer. But it would be during the early dynastic period that we would see an explosion in grain production, in vegetables and fruits. We would see einkorn and emmer wheat used to make bread. We would see beans, lentils, chickpeas, and fava beans. We saw root crops like onions, garlic, and radishes, along with salad crops like lettuce and parsley. We would see an expansion in trade with nearby regions, which would result in the import of other items like grapes, watermelon, sorghum, sycamore fig, Christ thorn, carob, olive, apples, and pomegranates. There were even Greco-Roman style peaches eventually introduced to ancient Egypt, as well as pears even. But outside of food, there were also crops being grown for making clothing, for making medicine, for religious practices. There was papyrus, there was flax, there was henna, which was developed to be used as a dye. There was also intense animal husbandry during the early dynastic period, predominantly in cattle rearing and raising of chickens, both for meat and for eggs. Some historians believe hieroglyphics in ancient Egypt emerged out of pre-literate artistic traditions, citing the Gerizean pottery from about 4000 BCE. Most historians believe, however, proto-hieroglyphic symbol systems developed in the second half of the 4th millennium BCE under the pre-dynastic ruler we refer to as Scorpion I. There are items also during the early dynastic period, including the Narmer palette, which we've discussed, which show early forms of Egyptian hieroglyphics. But we see the first full sentence written in mature hieroglyphics discovered in the tomb of Seth Peribsen at El Ka'ab. And Seth Peribsen was an early ruler during the Second Dynasty. again, alluding to that kind of missing gap of information we know about the Second Dynasty through examining material remains.
During the early dynastic period of Egypt, we would also see expansion beyond what is today modern Egypt. In Palestine specifically, particularly in the Gaza Strip, we would see a lot of early dynastic Egyptian settlers found major settlements throughout that region. One in particular, likely being the modern town of Tel al-Sakan. The early dynastic period for Egypt would lay the foundations for a major combination of cultural trends that we would see throughout ancient Egyptian history. But it would also lay the foundations for more complex politics and religion that would play a major part in what we know as the Old Kingdom period of Egypt today. In our next video on ancient Egyptian history, we'll take a closer look at the Old Kingdom period and learn more about how the actions of certain kings and pharaohs and rulers and even invasions in some case would lay the foundations for the rest of ancient Egyptian history.